All right. Can y'all feel him? Whatever we need to do on the lights for video, I have no idea. I'm fine with them off, but that's fine. Whatever they need to do, it doesn't matter. God's God with the lights on or off, right? It is. It's peaceful with them off. So I'm not Sid. I like to start off that way because me and him look a lot alike. Y'all pray for Sid and Lori. I asked if it's okay if I let them know they do have the COVID stuff. So they're kind of recovering from that. So y'all be praying for them. And Linda and Keith, y'all be praying for them as well. A lot of people in the community have it. A lot of people are sick. So y'all continue to pray for them. And of course, that's been going on. This is nothing new. But it seems to be, I think we said something about this last week, and there's probably a spiritual lesson and message in this, but the COVID stuff seems to be by itself, it's makes you sick, but when you pair it with stuff is when it's so dangerous to people. You know, when it's paired with something and, you know, something else going on in your body or something like that, that's when it seems to be dangerous. So y'all just remember our pastor and pastors, all pastors, those are all pastors in this house. So y'all remember them as they're dealing with that. So you're stuck with me this morning. And and so since you're stuck with me, I do worship more than I do this. So we're going to get the word out, and then we're going to go back to worship. And I'm going to change it up, and that's okay. And if that offends you, then that's a sign immediately that you've got some religion floating around in there. Because nowhere in the word does it say how church should go. And it doesn't say that you're supposed to have four songs. And we don't believe that here. We believe that we're just going to come together and let God be God. And this morning I felt like I wanted to bring this very simple word that God has given me. I wanted to bring that before we finish worship because I want you to worship with purpose when we go back to worshiping later. It's easy to come in and we worship first, we sing the songs, and we love the songs. And but I want us as a house, as me personally, as a houseless, let's begin to worship with purpose. When I'm crying out with these worship songs that have these amazing words that somebody probably in Australia wrote, a lot of it, or North Carolina, but we have some words and stuff from our house. Make them yours. Make worship yours. In 2021, make worship yours. Make it not something you listen to, not something that we do or Hillsong does or Elevation Worship does. Make it yours. And by doing that, when you come in and begin to worship, put in your mind, you all right, brother? Put in your mind, why am I singing this song? Why am I saying this? You know, we get up here and we sing, and of course I'll have to read them. We say, swing wide, all you heavens. Let the praise go up as the walls come down. What are we saying? What does it mean to our life? That's great words. Sounds good together. It sounds good with the chords and everything. That sounds good. Let's sing it. Let's sing it loud. But what does that mean to you? Because worship is an extremely personal yet corporate thing. It's kind of a weird thing. It's a very personal thing. But man, corporately it becomes a powerful thing. Corporately it becomes a powerful, powerful thing. That's why we're all about if you can come to the house, if you can get here, if everything's, you feel comfortable, come to this house. I need to worship with you. I need to hear your voice. Amen. Unfortunately, you need to hear mine. We need to hear each other. So that's why I wanted to put the word here. I just felt when I was kind of putting this together, I haven't known about this long because I didn't know Sid was obviously going to be sick. So, you know, normally I put months of research into my words. Just kidding. If y'all know me, I'm a little self-deprecating. I'm sorry. That's just how I roll. That's what we do. Me and Cammie started watching. We love Chip and Joanna Gaines. We like them. They're fun people, and they've got a new network out. So Joanna is the lady of the couple, obviously, and she's got a cooking show out. And it was funny. We watched it, and she was cutting some vegetables up. And she's a little different cooking show. She kind of makes fun of the stuff she does, and she's like cutting them up and just butchering them. She said, listen, if y'all came to the show to learn how to cut vegetables, you came to the wrong place. If you came to hear an elegant word this morning that has the Greek, the Hebrew, the Latin, the meanings and all that, I'm not the guy. But I do have something. And so what I give you is what God has gave me this morning. And you should be the same way in your life. Don't compare yourself to the master chef. Compare yourself to what God has told you to do. What God has given you something to bring. You guys, God has given each one of you something to bring. Even in the place you're at right now, the life where you're at in life right now, God is putting something in you to carry to somebody else. You better believe that. You better know that. There's not a soul on this planet that He hasn't put something in. Know your value. Know your value. So, anyway, we got that aside. Y'all know what we're doing. Y'all know who I am. I've lowered your expectations enough. We should be good. Genesis chapter 7 is where we're going to be. I've tried every year to do this, and I'm going to try it again this year. We all make these New Year's resolutions, whether you like say them, because some people are afraid to say them because they don't want to fail at them, and I get that. I don't make New Year's resolutions. That means because I don't want to commit to doing something that I know I'm not going to do. I understand that. But I've got a few things I'm, trying to do. Everybody, we do the weight loss thing. We do the, reading our Bible and, all those good things, which are great, great things to do. I think you should have goals. I'm not necessarily saying you got to have a New Year's resolution. Every day that you wake up can be a new year. You don't have to wait till January 1. But I started listening to one of the things that I like to do is just hear the Word. And so there's an app out there called the Daily Audio Bible. This guy's been reading the Word of God. I think this is like his 14th or 15th year. It's just an app. You cut it on. He's a guy up in Tennessee, and he just reads through the Bible in a year. So you just click it on every year, and he'll kind of give a little commentary before he starts. Then he reads, and he'll read Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. He'll do the whole thing, like if you're trying to get through the Bible in a year. And I've tried it every year for the last 2 or 3 years, and I get behind, and then I'm 2 days behind. I got to listen to 2 days. I don't have time to do, just good stuff to listen to. Anyway, so I was listening that this year, starting this year up, and it was obviously starting in Genesis, and God began to speak to me then on what happened in Genesis 7. And I thought then, I was like, well, next time I get to speak, next time Sid needs me to speak, I may speak on that. Well, it was just a couple of days later, Sid called me and said, hey, man, I need you to speak. I think I may be sick. So, there we are. But, talking about New Year's commitments, though, I want us to be thinking about this morning what our level of commitment is to Him. We make these commitments, and some of us are shy to make these commitments because we're afraid that we won't follow through with them. So we'd rather not follow through with a commitment. We'd rather not make the commitment so, we didn't follow through with it. Nothing lost because I didn't put anything on the line. You know what I mean? It's like now I won't, not that I was ever great at it, but I shy away from playing one-on-one basketball with Isaac. Because you know what? If I don't play him, I won't lose. We'll play horse or pig or, something really short I can beat him at. But one-on-one, he's bouncing the ball through my legs. I'm like, if I don't play, I don't lose. Y'all get in the game this year. Let's get in the game. Victory Fellowship, let's get in the game this year. Let's make a commitment. You know what I mean? Let's make a commitment personally. Let's make a commitment corporately. Let's make a commitment as a community. Let's make a commitment to be what God's called us to be. You don't fail if you don't try. I get it. I get that. I understand that. Let's jump in Genesis 7. So, what's happening in Genesis 7? Of course, we've created the heavens and the earth. All that happened early on. We're still early on in the Bible. We're early on in this book. Amazing book. It covers the most amount of time of any book in the Bible. From start to end, this is a massive time period that it covers in Genesis. God has come in chapter 6. We see that God has come to Noah. Most everybody knows who Noah was. Noah and the ark. Kid's story. It's a little kid's story, It's the... We teach the kids about the ark and the animals, and it's cute and everything. It's a kid's story. But we need to stop and think about, it's a kid's story, but it's a grown-up story too, because there's some seriously powerful stuff that happened with Noah and what he was doing. And you could this has been preached a million times and will continue to be preached a million times. But this moment, this second, I feel like there's just one thing that I want to walk through this morning as we look at this book. I'm going to read a little bit in Genesis 7, 1 through 16, just what was going on. Noah's already built the ark. God's already come to him and told him, the world is a wicked place. I've got to start over. And there's a lot of deep stuff in that. But the world's, I'm starting over, and I'm starting over with you because you're faithful. I want to do something with you because you're faithful. I want to use you because you're faithful, and you've been faithful in the small things in your life. I've got something really big for you to do. And so he tells him to build this ark, this boat, this massive vessel that's going to hold all these animals. And he's going to hold his family, and he's basically going to start repopulating the earth from everybody that's on this one boat. And we think our times are dark. We think because of the virus and politics and riots right now in our country that, oh, it's just dark. This is the darkest time on the planet. Can you imagine God saying, hey, I'm gonna do away with everybody, and I need you to build a boat, and I need you to get in that boat because I'm going to flood the earth. Something you've never seen before. You've never seen a flood like this before in your life. I'm going to do something that you've never seen before. So you need to prepare in a way that you've never prepared before. That's what he told him. He says, it's going to flood. I think he'd seen rain. I think I've heard before that there was no rain before this. I don't know. That doesn't matter. I will tell you this. The earth had not been flooded before. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. I'm not a theologian, but I know the earth had not been flooded. But I know, too, after the story is over, that it will not be flooded again. So he tells him all this stuff. He's like, look, you got to build this boat. In chapter 7, we're kind of picking up in the middle of the story. It says, the Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate. Take two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. And also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded. And so what you've got going on is in chapter 6, there was a period of time in which Noah had built the ark. And we don't know how long that time was. We don't know if this was, they're assuming months to build a boat that big. You're not going to do it in a few days unless God's like putting stuff together for you, which would be helpful. But if you're building it, you and your three sons are building this boat. You know, it's going to take us this time period. So we don't know how long this was. Most likely it was a significant amount of time. A significant portion of his life and time were developed, you know, devoted to going to building this boat. So you had this man who had gotten up every morning of his life for the past however long with purpose. He said, today we've got to build this part of the boat. Oh, today we've got to start building the stalls. Today we've got to start building the bow on it. Today we've got to start building, I got to cut that window out today. I need a window in it for some reason, some birds or something. I've got to do all this stuff. So every day he had this manual physical task that he had to do. God had called him to do a task. And so he got up every day, him and his sons, and they began to work on this thing, and they began to do it every day. And they were faithful every day. You know how crazy that was? I mean, we always talk about how crazy it had to have been. It had to have been absolutely insane. This man is building a boat in the middle of a desert. This was desert area. This was arid area. It's not like he was building a boat, next to a great lake or something. He was building a boat out in the middle of nowhere. A boat. People probably didn't even know what it was. Like, that's a funny shaped house. He did it every day faithfully. So every day he walked to work, wherever the boat is. You know, you get the idea of he's got his lunchbox walking to go do his thing. But he goes and does this hard thing every day. He commits to something every day. He commits to doing something every day. And you're like, well, that's awesome. He did that. You've committed to doing something. You've committed to coming to this house. You've committed to Christ. You've committed to something. And that something takes effort. But in everything that God has us to do, there seems to always be something that he's preparing us for. Does it not? Isn't there always something else, Michael, that he's getting us ready for? It's like he's never satisfied with us, but he's always satisfied with us. It's a weird thing. He loves us and he accepts us and he's completely satisfied with you, Paul, but there's still something. He says, I want to tweak something in you. I want to challenge you with something. You know why he wants to challenge you? It's because he's made you a different man every day. He's strengthened who we are every day. He's changed us and renewed us. The world says that you cannot change. The world says you are who you are when you're born. If you were racist one time in your life, you'll be racist for the rest of your life. If you had substance issues one time, you'll have them for the rest of your life. You've got to fight. If you were a liar, you're always a liar. If you were poor with money, you'll always be poor money. That's what the world tells you. But my God in this Word, in this Bible, tells me that I am a new man. Not by my own power. Yeah, by my own power I am what I am. But through Him and in Him, I'm something different. And I can be better and better every day. But you know what He does? When He sharpens you, He wants to use you. He wants to use you for something. If I never use this knife, this little pocket knife that I keep, if I never use it, but I keep it sharp as all get out, I'm talking like Rambo, you know, I could take it and just cut the paper right down the middle. But I never use it. I never get it out. Oh, I need to cut a cord. I need to cut a string. Well, I've got this really sharp knife, but I don't want to dull it. I don't want to use it. God does not look at us that way, as these instruments that He's going to sharpen and never use. So when He sharpens us, He wants to do something with us. He wants to use us for something. When He gives you a revelation, it's not so you can stick in your pocket and say, oh, that's cool. When you walk through something, I tell you guys this all the time when we're able to meet, and I don't know a lot of y'all. I know some of y'all. You're not walking through this just so you survive it. You're walking through this because God has a purpose in your life. He has something that He wants to do with you. So if you walk out of this program completely clean, completely full of Him, and you never tell anybody what you went through and what your God did for you, then you miss the whole point. You miss the whole point. Church, if we come in here every Sunday and I worship my guts out every Sunday, if I get in and I'm just, I mean, whatever Pentecostal event you can imagine, I'm floating, walking on the ceiling upside down, I'm so full of the Holy Spirit, and I walk out of the door and I never tell anybody about my God, that's nice. I'm a clanging cymbal, is what Paul said. I'm just making noise. So, why is He sharpening us? Why is He? Why Noah went every day and built this thing every day. Every day it took faithfulness. Every day it took absolute trust that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I promise you, Noah would have built it if there was never a flood. He would have built it anyway because God said to build it. I think if you read the whole thing, it's interesting to me because if you read the whole story, God tells him about the two birds and the two animals and the whole little thing I just read through a little bit. That's repeated multiple times. I was like, why is that so wordy? Why does it say it 100 times? That's why I didn't read the whole thing. I'm going to be repeating the same thing over and over again. It says it over and over again. You know why it says it over and over again? Because I think God woke him up every morning and said, I have something for you. I need you to do this. I need you to build this boat. I know that there's going to be two animals of every animal that I need to put in this boat. He had to remind him every day because he was a man. So yes, Noah was faithful, but God will remind you. God will help you. God will encourage you. I thank God every time God had the chance, He said, no, you're doing something great. This is what you're going to do for me. There's going to be a flood. And that when that hammer gets heavy and I feel like an absolute idiot going and building a boat in the middle of the desert every day, God just told me. He reminded me. He reminded me I'm doing something. Just open your ears to hear Him and He'll speak to you. He'll encourage you. He will tell you why you're doing stuff. He will, if He tells you to do something, He will encourage you in that. God knows our weaknesses, and He is going to be there. He knows our weaknesses. We just got to say, God, this is a weakness. God, I'm really trying to figure out why I'm building this boat today. Because, I mean, you know, I've been at this for 3 months now, you know, and I don't get it. Everybody's making fun of me. I mean, the lumber shop can't keep the nails in. Or like, why are you doing all this stuff? I mean, it's just, all this stuff just begins to pile on us. Because it's easy to be fired up right when God says it to you. It's easy to be fired up when you're at the altar and you're like, God, I'm laying this down. I'm putting this away. I'm doing whatever. Like we said last week, I'm putting this down. I'm picking this up. But Tuesday morning, when the results of whatever come in and they weren't what I thought they were going to be, when I turn on the news and I see the craziness that is our country right now, do I still believe it? Do I go out the next day and I still say, you know what? I know this world looks dark, but let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Let me tell you about somebody that's more powerful than any president that ever walked the planet. He doesn't need nuclear codes. Let me tell you about a man. Let me tell you about a God. Let me tell you what he did for me in my life. So God knows our weaknesses. He knows we need help. It's always good to bring an example. It's always good to bring an example on stuff. So I was trying to think of what's an example. How can I put this into everyday terms on stuff? And I've been consumed lately, probably a little too consumed if you ask Kami, with my photography. She asked me, so are you going to preach on taking pictures? I was like, no. And I got this one, you know, that's a good example. So I bought this camera when Isaac was born. Isaac is our baby. Isaac is now 14 years old. He's taller than I am. So I bought this camera, and it was like a real camera. I mean, there's the point-and-shoot cameras, which are fine. Probably it's all I need, you know, especially then because there was not really cell phone cameras were just junk. So, you know, you had the point-and-shoot where you just point it and take the picture, and it does all the work, and it's going to take an okay picture. But then there's the DSLR. Aaliyah, if you're watching this, sorry. She's the photographer. It's the one where you got to tell it what to do. I mean, you got to tell it the aperture and the ISO and all these terms that I'm trying to figure out, but you can take really, really good pictures if you know what you're doing with it. So I invested in a Rebel T1i Canon camera. Just to let you know, they're now at the 8. I have the 1. They're now at the 8. Just so you kind of, I was going to get this camera, I'm going to learn how to take pictures. I mean, I got 3 little kids. Well, you know, I really need to take good pictures and stuff. So I bought this camera. I was excited about this camera. I've tried to take pictures with it, and I never committed to learning how to use it. Because you got to learn some stuff. I mean, you got to be pretty smart to be able to take pictures with these things. So it's impressive when you see, like, Aaliyah's photography or somebody like that. You know, it's impressive. I've tried, and it's not easy. So I would always get this thing out, and Kami makes fun of me because I carry it on vacation. It's kind of funny. We'll get in a camper, and we're going out west. We're loading stuff up, and I got my camera. She's like, what are you going to do with that? I might use it. I've got it. I'm going to bring it. You never know. I might just get out there, and all of a sudden, God just imparted me how to use this camera, and we may go out in Zion, and I may take the most amazing pictures in the world. You know where it stays? Tucked away in the camper. Because Kami can take really good pictures on her phone. Really good pictures. So you know what I tell myself? Her pictures are going to be better than mine anyway. I don't need to bother with it. Why do that? You know what? You know, I've got this brother. A lot of people know Matt. He's a videographer. I'm like, you know, I'm going to be a blogger and take, you know, we're going to be travel experts, you know. Look at Matt. Man, my brother, he's like, his videos are cool, you know. You cannot want to get married and watch one of his videos and go propose to somebody. They're that good. He's just that good. You know, you look at Leah's pictures, you know, when she takes family pictures, it's like, wow, these are amazing. So I taught myself out of it. So now that camera, that T1i, is so old that literally the cheapest cell phone that you can buy can just about take pictures as good as it. So I've let this time go by, and I have never committed to this. I felt like I had a calling. I use that loosely, guys. This is an example. I felt like there was something I needed to do. When I bought that camera, I felt there was a reason I wanted to buy the camera. Because I'm not necessarily wanting to be the guy taking pictures, but I want those pictures. I want those memories. I want to remember it, and I want to see it the way I want to see it. And I love the artistic side of getting the sunset, hitting the mountains and stuff, and it's beautiful. And you look back on it, and you think, wow, that made my heart sing when I was there. So I wanted to do it. I'm not saying it because I wanted to carry a camera. There's a reason I wanted to do that. But something took me off track. There's a lot of things that took me off track. It was harder than I thought it was going to be. A lot harder. I mean, you look at the box, and they're taking all sorts of cool pictures. And I take it, and they're blurry, and I can't see anything. And what the heck? This thing's messed up. It's messed up. So I put it away. Oh, I'm not as good. Oh, Camille will take better pictures with her cell phone. Oh, you know, I'm not going to try the video. I'll look like an idiot compared to my brother's videos. So I let all these things creep in. And every day that I was supposed to be going and building the ark, I began to say, well, you know what? It hadn't rained yet today. I think I'm going to go bowling today and get some pizza or whatever you do when you don't build an ark in the Bible days. I'm out of here. Yeah. You know, I've never built a boat before. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. This calling that God's put on my life is a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be a walk in the park. I thought God was just going to miraculously, I was going to go into Zion National Park, open up my camera, pull it out, and be a professional photographer. That's what I thought. I thought when I got saved, I was going to be Billy Graham that day. I thought I was going to understand the Bible. I thought that things were going to change when I opened up this book. I wasn't going to have to study, and I wasn't going to have to say, God, what do you mean by this? I thought that people would just, I would just say the name of Jesus, and they'd fall out in the Holy Ghost. I thought that's how it was going to work. And it didn't happen that way, so I get discouraged, and I say, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I won't do that. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll double down on whatever it is that God has called me to do tomorrow. Don't sit by and let others fulfill your calling. He has something that He wants you to do, and He wants you to do it right now. It may be accepting Him for the first time. It may be saying, God, you know what? I am a sinful person. I've messed up. I really, really need to give this up to you. I accept your Son. It may be starting at the most fundamental, basic part, and it may be, God, I've been called to be a missionary in Africa, and I've been fighting it for however long. Not that that's the pinnacle of Christianity, but it just could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. Now, in looking at this, because I've waited so long to jump in on this photography calling again, if you're just listening to this, I'm doing air quotes around calling because it's just photography. I'm not trying to say that this is a spiritual thing necessarily, but my original investment is not antiquated now. My original investment in this Rebel T1i camera, it's old technology now, and I didn't learn how to use it. God may have called you 10 years ago to do something. God may have called you 10 years ago to go to Honduras and begin to help a little group of people down there to build houses. He may have called you to do that. And you didn't do it. All right, fast forward 10 years. Does that mean you don't need to do it? No. God's probably still calling you to do that. Has it changed? Yeah, you need to help Marty. You need to help Marty do that. You need to come alongside him and help him do that. And God may say, all right, once you learn how to do that, then I'm going to call you to Guatemala to do the same thing. He may change. You see what I'm saying? He's still called. You still have purpose. But if you have skipped over the purpose in a particular time, God still wants to use you. God still will use you. But don't try to go do that thing. Say, God, all right, I've messed up. What do you want me to do right now? What do I need to do right now? How can I help you right now? How can I fulfill what you want from me right now? So don't get hung up on, oh, I had this calling and I missed that opportunity, so I guess I'm not called anymore. That's what I'm telling you. You're still called, and it may just be to something else. Okay? It may be to something different. Be open to hearing God's word and what He wants for you. All right, let's go back to Noah. So we built the ark. That's where we're jumping in on chapter 7, where we just read. I want you, this is something I'm going to repeat it twice. It was one thing to build the ark. I mean, that was an impressive thing. It was one thing to build the ark. But it is a whole other thing to fill the ark. It's one thing to build the ark, but it's a whole other thing to fill the ark. Think about this scene. This man had been building this ark, and this crazy guy out in the desert is building this massive wooden thing with his sons, and they're occult and they're crazy and all this stuff. But all of a sudden, like we were talking in the back, like Tammy said, all of a sudden you're standing here and all of a sudden two zebras walk down the road. You're like, oh, that's odd. Two ostriches walk down the road. Oh, that's really weird. Two gorillas come bouncing around. You know, you're like, oh, what? Where are they going? And everybody's heading to that big wooden box that crazy guy was building. There comes a time, and when God does things in our lives, there comes a time when things will shift. You're not just preparing, you're doing. Churches, as a group, as a whole, I've been in several churches. I'm not pointing out victories, but we're really good at building that ark sometimes. Man, I'm going to come every Sunday, and I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to build that ark, and I'm going to worship, and we're going to build that ark. But like Nick was talking about last week, when we go outside those doors, and there's a pandemic, we're like, oh, what do we do? It's like building an ark, and the water starts to come, and you're standing next to the boat like, oh, what should we do? There's a lot of water. I mean, you're standing next to a boat that you built for this purpose. So there comes a time that you are not building. You're not just building. It's one thing to build. It's another thing to feel. It's one thing to accept Christ, but it's another thing to walk with Him. It's one thing to go to church, but it's another thing to be the church outside of these walls. It's one thing to say, oh, I'll pray for that. But it's another thing for your heart to just be burdened for it and you to really, really pray for that person or that thing or whatever it is that you said you would pray for. Don't say you're going to pray for something and don't do it. When somebody says, hey, my mom is sick, and you don't know this person's mom. She lives in Kansas. You've never met her in life. You never will. And you say, oh, man, I hate to hear that, because you sincerely in the moment are like, oh, I do hate. That's terrible. You know, you have compassion for this person. I'll pray for you. And then you forget it. It's one thing to commit to something, but it's another thing to go all the way through with it. It's one thing to say, yes, God, I love this calling. That sounds so awesome. That sounds so wonderful. I want to do that. I want to be that person. Thank you, God, for calling me to do whatever it is that you've called me to do. But it's another thing to continue in that when it seems irrelevant and the world thinks you're crazy. And it's one thing to say faith over fear, which is kind of our thing that I hear in society now, which I agree with 100%. Faith over fear. What a powerful statement. And what a powerful thing to say. What an even more powerful thing to actually live out. To really, really, really have that faith when that fear creeps in. Having faith that God's in control when your pastor and your worship leader are all got this virus. Having that faith when you see riots all over the country and the Capitol being trampled. How did Noah fill the boat? How did he fill what he had built? God filled it. Exactly. God filled it. Two animals at a time. Two animals at a time. Two animals at a time. That building process started again. Just started again. All right, now we've got to fill it. Now we've got to do something with it. Now it's another level of commitment. That's what I'm trying to get along to you guys this morning, is are you ready to take that next step of commitment? Are we ready to take that? God never left him. God sent the animals. But he told him every day, built this boat for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. I have something very important for you to do. And every day he said, okay, let's do it. Okay, I don't know where I'm going to put the hippos. I didn't know we were going to get hippos. I've never seen a hippo before. I mean, they're weird looking. Where am I going to put them? Okay, let's put them in the back there. I'm going to deal with what God puts in front of me. God today has brought a very interesting variety of animals. I don't even know how to feed them, but I'm going to put them where they're supposed to go. At some point, our building project must begin to take on life. You see, this vessel went from a wooden structure to a living vessel. It became the thing that sustained all of humanity. this thing that you had built with your hands, this wooden thing that you had built, this calling that you had plugged away for day after day after day, year after year after year. At some point, God's going to see that faithfulness, and if He called you to do it, He's going to fill it with something. Our calling, our purpose, our burning needs to be who God called us to be. We must change our lives and those around us, and that looks crazy when we're doing what we're called to do. I'll be honest with you, it's kind of like Nick was saying last week, if we look like the rest of the world, then what are we doing different than the world? Guys, as Christians, as followers, as Christ followers, as disciples of Christ, as somebody that's like going to read this word right here, you're going to open this thing up and you're going to read it. You're going to read the Old Testament. You're going to read the New Testament. You're going to begin to understand things. If you really believe this, the world ought to think you're a madman. You should be so weird. I should be so strange. Because like when people are mean to me, I love them. That kind of stuff. I'm not talking about walking on the ceiling. When people say bad things about me, I pray for them. We should be so different. God's calling us all to be different. I'm not saying that we aren't. We should be different. There comes a time that we need to recognize when to put down our hammer and pick up the feed bag. All right? So that's what I want to challenge us for this morning. And this is why I wanted to go ahead and get this out. I'm pretty much wrapping this up. We're going to worship for a little while. Recognize when God is taking us to that next level. You may need to continue to hammer on that ark right now, and that's fine. And God will tell you that. God will tell you when the animals are coming. God will tell you when that 7-day period is coming. You went for however long, building whatever it is in your life. But at that point when God says, all right, it's time. It's time. I'm about to send some animals, and it's going to happen in 7 days. In 7 days, let's look at Luke chapter 9, verses 23. I don't want to get out of here without reading this real quick. This is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking after Peter confesses who Christ is. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." My worship team, you guys can come on back up. Let's get ready to worship. This is a daily commitment. And I just want to kind of tag on with Nick last week, and it's a new year, and I want us to recommit this year to wherever you're at in your life right now. Let's recommit as individuals, as families, as this congregation, on up the level. Let's recommit to living a Luke chapter 9, verse 23 life. So when he tells us to put the hammer down and he tells us, all right, church, I need you to do this now. Let's be ready. Let's say, okay, all right, so we're going to put animals in this thing now. Okay, that's good. Let's do it. Oh, all these crazy animals I've never seen. That's fine. Okay, I wasn't ready for that one. That's all right. Let's be ready. Let's double down. And when it goes from building to filling, let's be prepared. And that was a very simple word that I had for us this morning. And the reason I want to put it right there is because I want you to spend the next however many minutes in worship just saying, all right, God, what's my next step? Am I supposed to keep hammering? Am I supposed to, is the ark ready yet? Am I supposed to be putting boards on it? Are you working on me right now, God? That's where you guys are at now. God's working on you. God's doing things in your life. God's exposing stuff. But he's not just doing it right here. He's doing it to his people. That's what we all do. So are you open to that? This morning, this year, Be open to being used by God in a way that you've never been used before. That is my challenge to you this morning. In 2021, whatever comes, whatever may come, be prepared to do what it is that God has called you to do. Be prepared to take that next step of commitment. Be prepared to fill that ark. Because you know what I did this week? I made another investment with my camera. Went out and got me a new camera. I made an investment. Probably too much, but I made an investment. I told Cammy, I said, I'm going to learn how to use this camera. Yeah, I've missed some time. Yeah, I'm 40 years old now. Yeah, my son, in which I bought the camera, is now 14 when I bought the camera, and I don't have really any good pictures from that camera. So yeah, I should just give it up. But you know what? I'm going to learn how to use that camera. I'm going to take some really awesome pictures. I'm going to take pictures, Hannah, I'm going to take pictures of the sun rising somewhere. And I don't care if it's in Harrelson County, and I don't care if it's somewhere in California, I'm going to get to take a picture of a sunrise that God made. And I'm going to take it. It's going to look good. Because God is not finished with you. Forget about my camera. God is not finished with you this morning. Just because you missed something, just because you didn't jump on it right then and do what you should have done 10, 15, 14 years ago, God is not finished with you, and it's not too late for Him to take you and take you to that place. Recommit this morning. Church, Victory Fellowship, let's recommit this morning. I don't want to be the church of Damon back in the day. I'm not worried about that, Brett. You're not worried about that. God, where do you want us right now? How do we fit in? Who are we supposed to minister to? Let's find out and let's go find those people. Let's minister to them. Who am I supposed to tell about Jesus today? Let me go find that person. I'm going to tell them. It's not too late. He'll continue to use you. It may look a little bit different. You may have to reinvest something. You may have to double back down on something. Oh yeah, well, you know, that 15 years ago, I committed in helping the children's church, so God should be rewarding me now. No, maybe you need to do it again. Maybe you need to do something. I don't know. I'm not great with examples. Whatever it is, it's in your heart. He's not done with you. And that's what Satan tells you. That's what I told myself. I can't learn how to use this thing. I can't take pictures. I'm wasting my time. So I'm going to hop back up here. There is communion down here. If you need to bring your tithes and offerings, I forgot about that part. I'm messing this whole service up. We're going to worship. We got 3 or 4 songs. We're going to worship. But as you worship, I want you to think, God, what do you want from me? God, I'm here. And if you're not there, if you're like, God, I'm not ready for this. He knows where you're at. He loves you. Just listen to Him. This morning, just listen to Him. Heavenly Father, would you come to you this morning, God, as we want to lay down at your feet who we are, our expectations, God. I want to lay down my failures to you, God. God, I want to lay down. Yes, I've been building this ark and I've been doing all these things, God. I don't know if I'm ready for that next step. I don't know if I'm ready to move in that kind of faith. God, I pray this morning that you give us the courage to move in that kind of faith. I pray that we have commitment this morning, God, that we've never had before. We have resolve like we've never had before. That we see you clearly and your vision for our lives more clearly this morning than we have ever seen in our lives. God, I pray for a passion that lasts. I pray for a burning in my heart that I cannot escape. Lord, as I go out these doors this morning, God, I don't want to lose that burning. I want it to intensify the next person I see that needs you, God. I want it to fire up every time that you put opportunity in front of me, God. I want to feel your presence. I want to know I'm supposed to do that, God, and I want to have the burning desire and passion to do what you've called me to do this morning, God. God, be with this house, God. I pray that you come in Victory Fellowship in 2021, God, in a new, fresh way. We don't have the vision of 2008. God, we have the vision of 2021. We have the vision of what you want right now. What do you want me to do right now, God? What do you want from this house right now today, God? I pray that we hear your voice and we chase after that with everything that we are. We say yes. That when we need to put down the hammer and pick up the feedback, God, I pray that we know when to do that and we do it readily, prepared. God, let us be the light that you've called us to be. Let us be what Luke called us, what was said in your word in Luke, what you said to us, God. I want to pick up my cross every day. I want to pick up who you are, my identity in who you are, and who I am in you every day. I want to follow you every day. I want to hear your voice every day. I want to do what you want me to do every day and say what you want me to say every day. Be with us this morning, God, and we're going to worship you, God. Lord, I pray somebody in this room right now worships you for the first time. I pray somebody in this room right now worships you and cries out to you like they've never cried out to you before. They may have been in a million worship services, but God, I pray somebody in this room or watching on this screen right now begins to worship you in a way they never have before, God. I pray that you open up new levels of worship, new levels of intimacy with you, new levels of passion for you, new levels this morning, God. I pray that you begin to open those things up this morning. I pray, God, that this morning you tell somebody, I'm going to do something in the next 7 days, in the next 7 weeks, in the next 7 months. I'm going to be doing something in your life. Are you ready? And I pray that person this morning says, yes, I am ready. I am ready. Send it, Lord. Touch this house this morning, God. Touch each one of us individually this morning, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.